الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه مباركا عليه كما يحب ربنا ويرضى جل جلاله وعم نواله والصلاة والسلام على سيد الحبيب المصطفى صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. My dear respected listeners, we make our salat to glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why the whole of our salat is filled with Allahu Akbar. On every movement we say Allahu Akbar. And then when we come up from ruku, we say Sami'a Allahu liman hamida, which means Allah has listened to the one who praised him. Allah has listened to the one who praised him. And then after that we'd say Rabbana lakal hamd. Wa Allahumma Rabbana lakal hamd hamdan kathiran, as long as you want to make it. Then we praise Allah. O Allah, O our Lord, for you is all praise. So the whole of Salat is a way of magnifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to mention His greatness and majesty. Zakat, of course, we understand that that's a way to purify our wealth. The other two worships that we have, fasting, Sawm, fasting and Hajj, have you ever noticed that they're actually connected together? When I was younger, I used to think that we have two Eids. If they were 6 months apart, it would be nice. Because you have one Eid, one celebration, and then you have 5-6 months, and then after that you have another one. They were too close together. 2.5 months, 3 months, and another Eid. Two Eids very close together. But the purpose in Islam is not just to celebrate and make and have a good time. In fact, the first Eid may be to do with that. Because in Ramadan we've stayed hungry. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give us a day where you can eat and celebrate in that sense. But Eid al-Adha is the bigger Eid, the greater Eid. And it has nothing to do with celebration in a sense. In the sense that it's actually qurbani, it's udhiyya. It's to do with sacrifice. It's an expression of ours to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for those who are here, we do qurbani. In copying Ibrahim alayhi salam and his sunnah many thousands of years ago. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved it so much that He had a sunnah of it established in this world. What the ulama mention is that Ramadan ye kaam ka waqt hai, ye amal ka waqt hai, aur hajj ye jaza ka waqt hai. Ramadan is the time to make the effort and to work hard. And hajj is a time for those Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses to give them the great reward of allowing them to come to His house. You don't give a dawah to anybody. We don't give dawahs just anybody into our homes. Before we give dawah, there's preparation made, and then we select, we choose, we say, okay, we have to invite these people. We have to invite them for different reasons. So when somebody is invited, they're honored. The greater the invitation, the greater the honor. So those who've worked hard in Ramadan, and I've asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I'm saying this after Ramadan and after Hajj because we have a whole year to think about it. Unfortunately, there are people who are amongst us who make, mashallah, more than 25,000-30,000 a year. They have savings. They might have a mortgage, they might have debts, but they still have enough money to spend. They even go on holidays throughout the year. They may even go for Umrah. But they still haven't done Hajj. Something in their mind doesn't allow them to go to Hajj. They'll go for Umrah. There's people I know, they go for Umrah every 2-3 years. But they still haven't gone for Hajj. The excuse is we don't get time off work. You can do Hajj in less than 2 weeks. My Hajj was only 2 weeks. I used to make fun of people who used to make Hajj for 2 weeks before. That's a businessman's Hajj. But it's possible. 4 days in Medina Munawwara, 2-3 days in Makkah, Hajj, 1-2 extra days and back home. You've fulfilled your obligation. Now, I want us to understand this carefully, that do not think of this just as an obligation. The one thing we have to realize is that Hajj, when you go to look at it, going around the house 7 times, what wisdom do you see in that? Going to Mina, going to Arafat, going to Muzdalifah, what wisdom do you see in all of that? Tangible wisdom. The whole purpose of this is to express your love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The whole purpose of this is to express your love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you do a Hajj just to tick the boxes. I did this, I did that, I finished this, I was on the bus first, we got there first. It was very well organized. Then that's not the purpose of the Hajj. The purpose of the Hajj is to feel that love. I mean, the example is of this Majnoon and Layla that many of our ulama, they quote often. So this Qais, his name was Qais, this Majnoon. Majnoon means crazy in love, insane in love. That's what he means. That wasn't his name. His name was Qais. So he loved this woman so much and he wasn't able to get to her. So when he would go into that area, he would touch this wall and that wall. And some people would wonder why he's doing that. So he says in a poem that it's not because of the love of these walls, but it's the one who lives within these walls. That's the love of a human being, for one human being to another human being. Now, if we truly understand our true benefactor, the one who has all benevolence on us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who created us and nourished us, then we'll understand that we owe him much more love. Once Hassan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi, while he was doing tawaf, he saw this young woman who is singing these Ashikana poems. She's singing poems about love. Sounds like she's singing to her boyfriend while doing tawaf. So he was taken aback. Immediately he said to her that you're in such a blessed place and you're singing these love poems. Because he thought she was remembering one of her boyfriends. So immediately she turned around and she said to him, you have absolutely no understanding. You are making tawaf of the stone of this house. I am making tawaf of the manifestation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's majesty. So this is who I'm calling out to. So she was calling out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in her love. And he mistook that. As a young girl, he mistook that as though she is singing to somebody else. Whenever you put a light on somewhere and everything else is dark, then all the insects and everything, they all converge around this one place. Because the light, that's what light does. The spiritual light of the Kaaba, the spiritual light of the Masjid al-Haram, that is the spiritual light which invites and attracts people from all around the world. Now imagine it, you've got people from all around the world, of different backgrounds, different ethnicities, different diets, different languages. They're all coming to this place because of this one love in their heart. The love is bringing them to this place. It costs a lot of money. There are some people who are walking, and there are others who are spending huge amounts of money. 6,000-7,000 is quite normal today to pay. The minimum is about 3,000. That's what it was this year. They're all coming to this place because this is the attraction of this place. This is the attraction of this place. Unfortunately today, the problem we have is that we get to Makkah very fast. We're there, we're working, we're busy, we do packing a few days, but we're so busy in our world that we take the flight and suddenly we're there in about 7-8 hours. In one day we're there. We've had no time to think, concentrate, make up our mind and create this fervor and this attraction and this interest in our hearts. In the past days they used to take 3 months, 6 months, a year, 2 years sometimes. And you can imagine with every step how their love would increase. We get there too fast. So we have to do it really fast. We have to somehow get into this frame of mind very fast. That's the difference in our heart. Although it's easier, but do we feel the same way? And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that a time will come when people will go to the Haramain for not for Hajj and worship purposes. They'll go for tourism. They'll go for tourism, and that is something that we need to avoid. So I would like to mention to all of our brothers and sisters who are listening who haven't done their Hajj and Hajj is necessary on them. You're being sinful for every moment that you wait. Every year that is missed, it's sinful. You have the ability to go and you don't go, you're being sinful. You have to try everything in your control, everything in your control to secure at least 2 weeks. And if you don't know how to go to Hajj for 2 weeks, ask me. I just did it in 2 weeks. And there are groups that have 2 week options. They're more expensive than the other options because the flights are more expensive. But you must do it. And if you're thinking that you must change your life before you go, that is the place to go and change your life. Shaitan is going to deceive you forever to make us think that you have to change before you go there. That, according to my Sheikh Mawla Zulfiqar Sahib, he said, this is a spiritual washing machine. When you come for Hajj, it's a spiritual washing machine. Such a perfect description. It's a spiritual washing machine. You go in there and you're hot. You've got two garments on. You're dirty. You're not allowed to use toothpaste. You're not allowed to use fragrance. You're not allowed to cut your hair or your nails. And you're going around like a person just insane in their love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Essentially, every moment of this, every difficulty, every time your feet pain, your legs hurt, you feel the heat, you feel the sweat, you get hot and bothered, you have to mingle with the crowd, you have to wait, you have to do sabr, you have to be patient. Every aspect of this is a cleansing of your body. So it's a spiritual washing machine. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that Hajj al-Hajj wa Arafah. Hajj is Arafah. And then we're told to make wukuf. We're told to stand and make dua in the heat from Dhuhr to Maghrib prayer. That's why generally the salat is shortened, Dhuhr and Asr, and prayed together in the masjid. So after that you have the whole time. Why such a long time for dua? Such a long time for dua that many times when we're in the moment for dua for 5 minutes or 10 minutes, we remember certain things. But Allah has given us a time that we want you to open your heart and make dua. And make more dua, and more dua, and you will only be limited with what you can think about, with what you can think is important for you. So if for the first hour you thought of all of these things, in the next hour, this is how human brain works, you think for a longer, something else will come into your mind. And believe me, this is exactly as it happens. You have 6 hours for dua. So you keep asking and asking and asking. And then you ask for new thing, and then you remember something else, and then you ask for that, and you remember such and such a person, you ask for that. What our ulama say is that essentially when you go for Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you a blank check. He's giving you a blank check. You can write whatever you want on it. And you will only be limited by your own thoughts and your own sins and your own incapacities. The worst person on that day is the one who thinks Allah is not going to forgive him. They say Shaitan was never seen more despicable, dejected and rejected looking and depressed looking than in the Battle of Badr. Because in the Battle of Badr you have 313 people against the whole 1,000. And 70 of the Quraysh leaders were killed on that day. 70. And Shaitan was just looking back and he had absolutely no way he could do anything. And he was just seeing the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descend. That is the one time, and the other time is every year in Arafah. He doesn't know what to do. He is looking dejected, absolutely forlorn, rejected, depressed, absolutely in a great source of concern because of the mercy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is causing to descend. And it's not difficult to stand up for so many hours. You sit down for a while, then you stand up again. It's not difficult. Because when you're with that love, then it becomes easy. If you're going there just to tick boxes, I must finish quickly, I must keep myself clean and no sweat. Then after that, then you're in loss. But when you put yourself into it, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Al-Hajju al-Ajju wa-Thajju. Hajj is to be in this parigandi halat. To be in this disheveled state and this soiled state. That is Hajj. Don't remove it. Because that shows to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we mean business here. That we have totally forgotten everything else. MashaAllah, with us there were people who never touched their phone during these days of Hajj. Let alone the stories we hear of certain people wanting to know what Manchester United did. Or carrying a Manchester United devil bag into Hajj with them. I don't want to turn this into a football thing. But I'm just trying to explain that mashallah there were people among us. We had in this group about 35 to 40 doctors. Who just about managed to get time off. But many of them did not put their phone on. They had it off. They didn't reply to text messages. They said, no, this is what we wanted to do. And many, many people were standing up and making this dua. If you want to change, that's the place to change. That's the place where you've got the way to soften your heart to change. The reason is that to make a change, our hearts have to soften. When we're so tough in our hearts with the wrong ways we're doing things, we need a way to soften. Ramadan gives us that opportunity. And Hajj gives us a greater opportunity. So when you can soften your heart and then think to turn it into the right direction, you can't do that when you don't have these opportunities. So if you want to change first, it's a deception of the shaitan. You have to go there and you will change. And that's where you make your du'as. That is where you make your du'as that things are going to have to change with me in my life. And you will see du'as will be accepted. I've seen du'as accepted where I was sitting here, I was not in Hajj. And something that I had some difficulty, it became easy, it became opened up, and I was wondering how. And I remembered there were brothers who had gone for Hajj, that there was Hajj time. And I'd mentioned to some people to make du'a for me. Du'as are accepted in this Hajj time. And they're accepted immediately. There's many instances of this that I've seen with a number of people have told us about it. So if you want to make that change, that's where it's going to happen. So Allah gives you a check on that day. Write whatever you want. I give you 6 hours to think of the highest number of things you want to think about. Write everything on there. You will never tire me out. You will never exhaust my treasure. You will never exhaust my supply. So then we can only be limited by our own efforts and our own persistence in what we want. So that's the place to change. That's why we have a whole year now to think about this. Those who've been many, many years ago, you need to try to go again. Because the spiritual rejuvenation that you get from that, it's great. When some people say you're going to spend 3,000-4,000, you should give that in sadaqah. You should give some in sadaqah as well, but this is something we need for ourselves. At the end of the day, we're going to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I can give in sadaqah. It's going to help me. I'm going to get reward for it. But what this does is this spiritual cleaning. This spiritual cleansing that happens is amazing. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when somebody comes back from Hajj, make sure you make musafaha with him before he enters his house. May you make musafaha with him, you shake hands with him and ask him to seek forgiveness for you. Before he enters his house though, because he's come back forgiven. As soon as he's going back into his house, then back to normal life, then you start getting polluted again. But for that you have to wait at the airport for the Hujjaj. You have to wait at the airport for the Hujjaj and meet them before they come into their house. Still, there are other ahadith as well that their du'as are accepted for so many days and so on. But the main thing is this, that when you've come back, you're forgiven because you've come back from this special state. As bad a person as you are, you have to soften out there. There's so many people doing the same thing. You soften out there. And that's the way to then change the course of your life. So all of these excuses we have in our minds, remember we're sinful for if a person hasn't done their first Hajj and they have enough money, £3,000-4,000, they need to be making preparations from now for next year. For the brothers and the sisters. You need to be making your preparations from now, mentally prepared, and talk to your work from in advance and say, look, I need these 2-3 weeks off. 6 weeks, no problem. You can't go for 6 weeks. You know, nobody goes for 6 weeks. It's very difficult now. Some people still do, but it's very difficult. 2-3 weeks, alhamdulillah, get it done. Then after that, you can go for Umrah, spend longer time if you want to. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq, and may Allah accept all of those who went for Hajj, and those who didn't go for Hajj, Allah give them the tawfiq to perform their Hajj. Wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.